It's time to take off your clothes, enjoy clothes-free living, and join us for Naked, Nudist, and Naturist.
Welcome to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, the show that celebrates clothes-free living for all. I'm your host, Frank Stone.
And I'm your correspondent, Lisa Monroe, and I'll be reporting on all things within the naturist community. So it's time to get naked and join us.
And enjoy clothes-free living on Naked, Nudists, and Naturists. Well, greetings and welcome into Naked, Nudists, and Naturists, episode 40 today. We thank you for being with us. All week long, we look forward to this 1 hour together where we can be clothes-free together and listen about the joys of naturism. Brand new show every Saturday morning, 6 o'clock a.m. Hits Spotify, hits everything else after that. And we give you a brand new preview every Wednesday on YouTube, so check that out as well. The only thing we ask in return is please review and subscribe, Apple, Spotify, YouTube. You'd be doing us a tremendous favor by doing so, and we thank you in advance for that. Well, come on in. The water is fine. The hot tub is fired up. The grill is going full speed ahead. We have vegetables and fruit off to the right. Your favorite cold beverage off to the left. The hot drinks are inside. The sun is out. There's a slight breeze. And we're going to enjoy clothes-free living for all of the right reasons during the next hour together. Well, we have a highly filled content show for you, Power Pack. We're going to kick off with Andy Rogers from Winter Women in Nude Recreation for AANR. She and her husband, Tom, spent some time at the Olive Dell Ranch. All about her tour, I Am Perfect, or I'm Perfect Tour. So we'll hear the report from Andy Rogers and her husband, Tom. We'll have a brief interview with a gentleman who goes by the pen name Izera. He's written a book about being free. How about that? That includes naturism. He's from Canada. We'll talk to him in just a few moments. Of course, the terrific Lisa Monroe will be with us, a brief report on naturism. And the main interview today is with Paul Z. Walker out of the Netherlands, a highly prolific author in his own right, but he also writes a lot of naturist fiction, and he and Ted Bunn and Will Forrest collaborate to produce those anthologies for you. So let's kick off today's show with Andy Rogers and her husband, Tom.
Hi, this is Andy.
And Tom, with the Winter on Wheels, I'm Perfect Tour.
The royal treatment is the only way that I can describe our stay so far at Olive Dell Ranch. The people here are so welcoming. You feel like you've been a part of the community your entire life. We enjoyed a home-cooked dinner Friday night, along with about 20 others who came out. Then came karaoke. Oh my goodness, so many great entertainers. And I sang my usual favorites of Hit Me With Your Best Shot and Pontoon, among many others. In between the songs, we talked and effortlessly made so many new friends. And as the night progressed, I noticed so many young people joining in for the evening, and that's so great to see. The night wound down about midnight, and we went to bed talking about how much this club feels like home. Saturday brought with it a downpour, and why wouldn't it? Because that seems to be a thing with this tour. I appreciated the wonderful women who came out to join me for the I'm Perfect presentation, despite the deluge. Before I started, I asked how long they've been a nudist. Some as long as 30 years, and others are relatively new to it. My own entrance into the nudist community started in 2015. During my story, I welcomed the ladies to interject anytime they had thoughts or questions, and they did many times. So it became a really meaningful conversation between us all, learning from each other as sharing personal experiences. One of my most difficult experiences to share was that of the abuse I endured, physical, sexual, and emotional. One of the ladies simply asked, "Why didn't you leave?" Well, I replied, I was 10 years old. I didn't know that was even an option. But as we talked through the options a little girl would have under those circumstances, we noted that back in the 70s, abuse was not talked about like it is today. I felt trapped in my world with no way out. And that's when I decided to try and take my own life. And thankfully, that didn't work, but it brought to the attention of my parents that something was terribly wrong. we all talked about how thankful that we are that today abuse is widely talked about and there's awareness, so much more evident, and giving at least some education of choices that can be made. As I continued with my story, my emphasis was on how much women need to edify each other. The strength we gain from each other is crucial to our mental well-being. They love the I'm perfect concept and its duality. And of course, we all have scars, whether they are physically seen or not. But taking that word and reclaiming it empowers us to embrace our imperfections and turn that from a negative to a positive thing. So with that in mind, I asked for my living art model that we can encourage. Nikki volunteered, and we all wrote words of affirmation on her body, some which included goddess, queen, courageous, free, and confident, and there were more. And as we wrapped up the afternoon, I shared a bit about AANR and specifically the Education Foundation that offers scholarships for students to apply for. And then I invited them to take any of the swag that I brought, keychains, pop sockets, pins, and patches, and the like, and they were happy to do that as well.
So to mimic the song by the late Toby Keith, I love this bar. I just have to say, I love this club. Everybody we ran into here was great. They were just a blast to be around. Once we reached the area of the club, we saw a lot of wild burros everywhere. It was like it was a reserve. So on Saturday, we started our men's and meet and greet with questions about Anner. I'm getting very surprised now on how little club members know about Anner. We talked about how Anner is securing our rights to be nude with our GAT, Government Affairs team, on how the affiliation with AANR gives us a family-minded, safe place to come and enjoy being nude. And always a question on how do we get more people to come to our club. The first thing I said was, get involved. Get involved with your region by sending a delegate to the regional board meetings and talk with all the other clubs, and you'll find that the topics there will be very helpful for your club. Use Anner publications, social media, everything they have to offer, and get plugged in. Offer events that will attract people. I was amazed at the age of the members here. They're like in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, and that is so great to see. A great group of members taking care of their club. Again, I just want to say, I love this club.
Saturday evening, we joined in playing bingo. And I won one game, hooray, because that doesn't usually happen. So chalk that up to being lucky as a guest. There was a scheduled power outage and the lights went off promptly at 9 p.m. But not to worry, because they fired up their generator and we all enjoyed another evening together and more karaoke fun. Tom joined in singing this time and everyone enjoyed listening to him sing. I know I did. Another evening that ended around midnight. I just want to thank Chevy, especially for her incredible communication with me, setting up our event, and the multiple emails and phone calls that we worked on together to make this happen. And we would also like to thank Chet, who was there at a moment's notice for anything that we needed. And finally, thank you to Olive Dell Ranch for waiving all of our fees. They wouldn't take a dime for our stay, since we brought so much information and encouragement to them. But that was given back to us tenfold with this awesome group of people. We fell so in love with this club, and if we live closer, we would definitely join this amazing community. When we're back in the area, Olive Dell Ranch will definitely be a must to come back to. So this is Andy.
And Tom, and we'll see you down the road.
And there you go, our weekly report now from Andy Rogers of WINR, Women in Nude Recreation, for the American Association of Nude Recreation, and her husband, Tom. We have a longer interview coming up with Andy Rogers later this year. I think we'll have her sing Hit Me With Your Best Shot by Pat Benatar. I think that'd be fun. Well, we thank Andy Rogers and her husband, Tom, for everything. We'll have a report on next week's show as well. You're listening to Naked Nudists and Naturists, episode 40 today. Thank you for being with us. And now let's get into a brief interview that I had with an author from Canada all about being free. My interview with Azera. We are heading up to Toronto, Canada today. We're going to talk to a gentleman who has very significant and very deep-rooted thoughts and feelings on life and people and naturism. He's even written a book, Naked, Shameless, Human, and Free, A Simple Guide to Becoming a Human Being. I think we could all benefit from this. So let's bring him to the show this morning. Steve from the Toronto area. Good morning, Steve. How are you today, sir?
Morning, Frank. I am absolutely amazing. Thanks for asking. How about you?
Not bad at all. And, you know, looking at the cover of your book, I want to thank you, although I should be getting a check in the mail. It looks like you used me as the model for your cover.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right, Frank. The royalties are going to come through as soon as the book starts selling. So don't worry, you'll get your cut.
I appreciate it. And just so our listeners know, there's a guy on the cover, probably the best body ever created under the, on Earth in history. And so I was just making a joke. It's not really me. We don't want people to rush out the book, say, oh, that's not Frank. No, it's not. It's not. We're just kidding around.
It's what I wish I would be, right?
That's right. Yeah, yeah. All of us do. Well, on your Twitter page, right at the top, it says, I'm a nudist and proud of it. I'm in total control of my behavior and therefore not controlled by anyone else. I want to share my wisdom with everyone. And just so our listeners know, Steve and I have been talking for about 20 minutes before we started recording. And I think he and I could go on for days, and we're going to bring him back later in the year for a full-length interview. But Steve, just take us through your book, Naked, Shameless, Human, and Free. What's going on? How do you see things shaking down today?
Well, the book is kind of my life's experiences, where I started off from, what kind of programming I received when I was a kid, how I progressed through my life. And the lessons that I've learned and becoming a naturist was probably some of the most liberating things that I've encountered in my life so far. And I want to share those experiences, and I want to share my philosophy of naturism, and I want to share my philosophy of life with people because I feel I'm free. I know I have to pay taxes. I live in Canada. I've got to abide by Canadian laws and rules. But other than that, I'm no longer controlled by the programming that I received as a child. Like things like you have to grow up, go to school, get more schooling, go to even more schooling, find a job, fall in love, buy a house, have a kid, work a dead-end job until you're retired, and then prepare for death. Those crazy sort of things never interested me in my life. The only thing that I ever wanted to be was free and just be a human being. I kind of went through how I went from overweight, suicidal, totally alone in this world, to being happy, joyful, healthy, not just physically, but mentally. And, starting to gather friends. I've got friends all over the world now. And I'm really, for the first time in my life, I can say that I'm really genuinely happy with what's going on. I'm genuinely healthy. And I don't know how much better it can get, but we're going to find out.
Yeah. Well, I think Steve and I became fast friends in those 20 minutes. We have some of the same thoughts. And, you mentioned that you were controlled early on. You were programmed early on. And I think all of us are. And it took me a long time to realize that. People would tell me that, and I'd tell them they're full of nonsense and, get away from me. I don't want to hear that junk. And that's ridiculous. At some point, I realized there might be something to this. And not all that long ago, maybe about 5 years ago, I realized, my goodness, everything you just said, Steve, as far as grow up and go to school and get a job and get married and, start preparing for death when you're dead tired at the end of your life. There's so much more into it. But in your book, one of the paragraphs I wanted to read, a part of the paragraph, non-sexual communal nudity is normal and natural, which is what we promote on the show. When you are naked, you can do no harm and your mind is open to accepting others for who they are, not what they are. And to me, that's the essence of naturism. Have you found that to be the case as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, the openness, the I'm getting goosebumps thinking about this, the real authentic way that you can be, you're as vulnerable as you possibly can be. The shame, and I don't consider shame to be an emotion, but we are shamed as young adults, as young people, to think that our bodies are not perfect and we shouldn't shed our clothes. We should be covered up. I used to think that my body wasn't good enough to be, in a bathing suit on the beach.
Right.
All kinds of negative ideas about my body. And then when I fell in, when I came to be aware of the naturist community and I started participating in that, the liberation was absolutely phenomenal. So what changed was not just the physical side of things, but it was also the emotional side. And it was the fact that, I feel that I can trust my naked friends, right? Like the people in my community. Whereas with a textiled person, I'm not so sure. I've really got to feel them out. I've got to do some real investigation, and that doesn't feel natural to me. It doesn't feel right.
Right, and obviously women get this more than we as men do, but we get it too. When somebody walks into a room, we immediately check them out and what they're wearing, especially in a professional career area. Like, oh, he has a nice suit on. I wonder where he got that suit. Hey, that's a nice tie. And why is she wearing that dress today? She looks better in red. I don't know why she's wearing blue. And it go on forever about all this nonsense.
Yeah, yeah.
But naturism, literally, not being funny here, but it strips all that away. And now what do? You're at a nudist resort, nude beach. You're fully nude. You encounter somebody fully nude. You're not going to be discussing what you're wearing that day because you're not wearing anything. So now you can actually get to know the person, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. And you see the person instead of the body. I was messed up sexually as a kid, right? Like, I mean, I saw a nipple poking through a girl's shirt, and that was instant erection and instant out of control of my emotional state, and a lustful type of ideas came to my head, right? But now with nudity and being exposed to a gazillion body shapes and, it just is natural for me now.
Yeah, I understand. We had recently I was driving down the street and it's tons of motorcycles flocked to the town I'm in at this time of year. And they were all over the place. And I was driving down the street, and this one bar had maybe 50 motorcycles in the parking lot, small parking lot, 50 bikes. And I noticed a woman walking toward the road, toward where my car was. But I was going, a reasonable speed. I wasn't going to stop, and she wasn't going to try to stop me. But she was trying to flag people down to come in for a car wash or a bike wash. They would do it right there and raise some money. But her attire was barely there. And as I approached her, I realized she has on black underwear, a bra and panties, totally see-through. So from the front, I saw nipples. After I passed, I looked in my rearview mirror, and I saw basically a bare backside other than whatever was for the thong. And kind of like you said, when I was 15, 18, 20, I would have said, hey, let's go get the car washed, baby. This is good stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
but now I see that as that's absolutely disgusting. And I don't know what I'm going to do about it yet. I'm going to do something, whether I'm successful or not, whether, I show up at a city hall meeting or I don't know yet. I'm still trying to figure out what to do. We can't have that because that is fully sexualizing some level of nudity, isn't it? It destroys everything.
Yeah, absolutely. We're totally going against our nature, and we are sexualizing the human form by dressing provocatively. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it's the males that go all agog for this stuff. Like the females know it too, right?
Of course.
And they just they just play up to it. It's absolutely disturbing, in my mind.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. Well, we want people to get your book and check it out. I had the chance to read through the entire thing. You were kind enough to send it to me, and I did read it a few weeks ago. And was enthralled by it. And that's probably what prompted our 20-minute conversation before we started recording the interview. But it's called Naked, Shameless, Human, and Free. And it's under a different name. So put your pen name out there and tell our listeners how they can get your book today.
Yeah, my pen name is Izera, which is the Basque word for nature. So it's kind of like the nature wrote the book.
Yeah,
but it's found on Balboa Press. That's where you're going to get the most reasonable price. I've checked out Amazon, the Canadian version of Amazon. I don't know what it's on sale for in the US, but that price is a little inflated. Yeah, so Balboa Press is the best place you can go, balboapress.com, and search out Naked, Shameless, Human, and Free. Okay. I believe it's on sale at Barnes & Noble. I don't know if they have them on the shelf. There's no Barnes & Nobles up here in Canada, but and I'm looking forward to speaking to a local bookstore and seeing about putting them up for sale there as well. So,
well, that'd be really nice. So there is a physical copy of the book available as well as an ebook?
Yes, ebook. There's a audio book coming out on it. It's ebook, hard copy, soft copy, and audio soon, I hope.
Okay. So Naked, Shameless, Human, and Free, A Simple Guide to Becoming a Human Being. And it's under your pen name of Izera. Go ahead and, if you don't mind, spell that name for us.
Yep, it's Izera.
All right. And for the American people, we don't use Z here, so it's Izera, right?
Yes, exactly.
I remember hearing that in middle school, that teacher was talking about the differences in the English language. That, for example, people in Canada say Z instead of Z.
Yeah.
And I noticed a lot of people in the scientific community say Z as well. So I'm not sure which one is right or wrong. Maybe they're both right, but it's just interesting, a different view on life. Nothing wrong with that, right?
Different culture, right? Different culture, different view, different perspective. And it's all good.
That's right. Well, great to talk to you. We are going to have you back a little bit later this year for a full interview, the full 1 hour interview. And again, we want you to get the book. Check it out right away. Naked, Shameless, Human, and Free by Izera. And Steve, your real name in life up in Toronto. Go out there and have a great close free day. We'll talk again soon.
Yeah, same to you, Frank. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The terrific Steve / Izera. Check out his book. He said Balboa Press is the best place to go. Amazon, Borders, everything is out there. But check out his book today. I had never spoken to or met Steve / Izera until the interview, but we quickly became fast friends and just another joy of the Naturism community. And I know you feel the same way. I know you've experienced the same thing. So check out his book today, Izera, and we'll have him back later in the year for a longer interview. Well, you're listening to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, episode 40 today. And as you can tell by the music that's been sneaking in, it's time for the great, the terrific, the one and only Lisa Monroe. And here she is, the one and only, the over-the-top, clothes-free, and smiling to the max, Lisa Monroe. Good morning, Lisa. How are you today?
Good morning, Frank. I'm doing terrific. And you?
Not bad. Did you have a good week? And I hope, for the sake of our listeners, a clothes-free week and happy and smiling?
Always. Always. Right. It was a good week.
We have to get into it right away, a very short segment for the two of us. So don't get mad at me, but we'll make it up down the road. But we got a letter from a gentleman who lives in the country of India. He said his name is Ramaswamy, and he wrote about the Olympics. He just listened to episode 30 when we talked about the nude Olympics way back when. And he said in ancient Greece, a woman once trained her son as a wrestler, and he became an Olympic champion. Overjoyed, she went to congratulate him, and her clothing slipped and stood revealed as a woman. As a rule, only men could participate or coach. The rules were not to be taken lightly, and her offense was punishable by death. So to preclude any more such incidents, all athletes and coaches required to be naked thereafter. And as I like to say, when we go back in history hundreds of years, we don't really know the truth. We know what's been written, and whoever controlled the narrative controls what we read today. This could be 100% true. I don't know, but it's interesting to think about. Have you heard any other reasons why the Olympic athletes were naked as jaybirds when they participated?
Well, one of the original reasons that I thought I had heard about was the fact that it just was easier to participate. They had great movement. And the Greeks were very proud of their bodies. So they had good body consciousness. And I also read somewhere that their arch rivals that they competed against a lot, the Persians, they did not like the nudity. They were unhappy with that. It went against their beliefs. So the Greeks liked it even better. And so that's one of the reasons that it kind of grew into what it did for so long. Mm-hmm. But I also heard something interesting. I read that women often trained nude.
Yeah, I saw that too.
So there's, I'm sure a lot of stories, this story he told more than likely happened. It, you know, it's folklore possibly, or it could have happened because there are probably a lot of instances where, especially if women were training, that, you know, for themselves, they may also have been helping men. So who knows?
I also saw a note, you know, on the internet. You can't believe everything you read on the internet. I think
really?
We figured that out by now. But
goodness.
It was done for the purpose of all the women in the hierarchy of the kingdom. They could come down and watch all of these nude men, you know, run and frolic around and whatever they did for the Olympics back then, mostly track and field, I think. So it was kind of a surprise, not so much a surprise, but a joyous occasion for them. That could be true, too, to a degree. We just don't know, right?
I think anything could be true. And I think probably that's just as true as there were people there just to watch the athletic prowess. You know, that's what people go to games for now. You know, there are a lot of women don't like football, but they like football players. So, you know.
That's true. Yeah, you know, I've always said, I mean, always as in since I was a kid, why aren't all sports played in the nude? Exceptions, I guess, would be American football, because there you're trying to, you know, run into each other as hard as you can and as often as you can. You do need some protection. But basketball, that seems like the perfect nude sport. Track and field, definitely so. And probably some other ones, volleyball, why not? But we don't. We don't do sports in the nude, at least not publicly, do we?
No, and I think it comes back to a change in our, I don't want to say mores, because I don't think it's a moral question. I think it's just that we've become accustomed to hiding behind clothing, so that's what we do. And don't forget, rugby players they play without pads.
Yep.
So guess what?
That's right.
They could do it in the nude, too. So could football players.
And as we've talked before, they do on occasion. They have, mostly for charity, various benefits. They go clothes-free and play a game of rugby. And every picture you see, every video, everybody is happy. The players, the coaches, the fans, nobody is walking out. They're enjoying, I guess, clothes-free playing of sports for all the right reasons. How about that?
I think it sounds like a good thing.
All right. Well, Lisa, unfortunately, we have to cut ourselves short today. We'll get back on track somewhere down the road, but we have to go for now. Our weekly correspondent on naturism, nudism, clothes-free living for all the right reasons, the terrific Lisa Monroe. Thank you, Lisa. Go out there and have a great clothes-free week. We'll see you next time.
You too, Frank. Take care.
Thank you. The terrific Lisa Monroe always adds her ray of sunshine every time she walks in, and we thank her for all of her time. You are listening to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, episode 40 today. Hope you're enjoying the hour. Hope you're enjoying your clothes-free as well. Maybe with your favorite beverage or your favorite snack right next to you as you listen. And now we're going to get to part one of my interview with the terrific Paul Z. Walker, highly prolific author, writes naturist fiction as well. He's a part of the anthology group with Ted Bunn and Will Forrest. So let's get to it right now. My interview with Paul Z. Walker. So let's travel over to the Netherlands. It's over to the Netherlands for me because I'm in the United States. We're going to meet a naturist fiction author, although he also writes so much more. He's part of the great triumvirate with Ted Bunn and Will Forrest when they put their anthologies together, but he's an accomplished writer on his own. So let's welcome him to the show this morning, a naturist fiction writer from the Netherlands, Paul Z. Walker. Good morning, Paul. How are you today, sir?
Good morning, Frank. From my afternoon, I'm doing well. Thank you very much. I hope you can say the same.
I can say the same. It's absolutely terrific here in a little cold for me, and I think a lot colder for you. But, you know, we're making do. We're going to make our way through this, right?
Absolutely. Yes, it's a little bit on the cold side here. It's snowing at the moment. -2 Celsius, so it's about 30 degrees Fahrenheit, but we live.
That's right. You ever thought about, you know, keeping your house in the Netherlands for the summer, but then buying a second house in Australia, you know, when it's winter for you, it's summer for them? Wouldn't that be kind of nice, summer all year long?
Oh, that would be really, really nice. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm entirely in favor of that. My bank account has a bit of a problem, but I'm in favor.
That's right. Well, looking at your website, it looks like you have darn near about 100 books out there, not all in naturist, but about half or maybe a little less than half. Is that fairly accurate?
That's fairly accurate, yes. I think I'm at 45 books in the naturist fiction realm and non-naturist, well, that makes up for the rest.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We're going to get into all that. But first, let's go over your backstory in terms of naturism. Obviously, you were born naked like the rest of us, as the old joke goes. But when did you decide, you know, this having clothes on is a bunch of nonsense. They're coming off. They're staying off the rest of my life. When did that happen for you?
I was around 14 or 15, which was 1974, 75. We had a very hot summer. And in the Netherlands, also back then, we didn't do much in air conditioning or fans. So it was hot everywhere. Mm-hmm. I used to spend a lot of time in my bedroom reading. I love reading. And I thought at some point I said, I was so warm. I threw off my clothes and that felt so much better. Okay. A few days happened the same thing. So I kept putting off my clothes as soon as I was in my bedroom. Day after that, I took my bike, went into the forest with a book, threw off my clothes because I just wanted to know how does it feel outside. Yeah. And after that, yeah, the rest is history. I would not go back to being clothed when it's hot.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all. I think a lot of us tried that early on. You know, being nude in the home is one thing. No problem on my end with my parents. That was totally acceptable and was done all of the time. But I never asked permission to go off to the woods to take my clothes off. We had woods not too far from our home, but you better believe I did it. And that's also a remarkable feeling, just the feeling of freedom to be amongst nature and trees and plants with no clothes on. It almost cannot be described in words, even though you're an author. So you probably could, but for most people, can't be described, can it?
I have tried to put that down in words and it's not working. And you are absolutely right. I still remember that very first time I was in the forest, and you can believe I was nervous as heck, even though there was no one around in the next square mile. Taking off my clothes outside was thrilling, exciting. And 10 seconds after I got nude, it was, why didn't I do this further? Earlier?
Yeah.
This was just too good. Absolutely too good. I put my bike against the tree. I just started walking for half an hour. And then I thought, damn, where did I put my bike?
Yeah.
It was just too good.
Did you encounter anybody during those journeys, other people walking through the woods or the forest with clothes on? Any issues there? Or were you okay?
No, I haven't met anyone back then.
Okay.
Most people were going on vacations and we didn't. My dad didn't go on vacations very often. Mm-hmm. So I spent a lot of time doing vacations at home.
Okay.
And with so few people back there, the risk of meeting someone was getting so low that I almost threw caution in the wind.
Yeah. No, that's fully understood. Now, so you discovered this about age 14 or 15 or so. Were you allowed to be nude in the home, just walk around clothes free? Was that part of the deal in your own house?
My mother might have approved if my dad wasn't against it. My dad wasn't very, very open, very liberal in those ways. My sister didn't want to hear of it. But my mom said, well, do what you want as long as everybody in the house agrees. Well, not everybody in the house agreed, so I didn't do it. But in my room, I did.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Everybody also knew because I would put a sign out on my door just with a sellotape thingy, nude, knock.
How'd you spell nude? You spell that with a K? Because knock spells with a K, but
yes, N-A-A-K-T, K-T, yes.
That's great. Any naturist friends at that age? You get together and just, you know, play ping pong in the nude or anything like that or go swimming?
It was quite difficult to find people back then because you didn't have internet. It was 1974, so there was no internet. Internet came up in 92, 93. Over here. Mm-hmm. So at some point I discovered books about naturism and nudism in the library. Mm-hmm. And there was a magazine and I was 18 or 19 back then already. So only then did I find out, oh, it has a name and there are other people doing it. And that's interesting.
Yeah.
So I started writing letters. That was also what you did in those days, writing letters.
Yeah.
Asking people, where are you? How can we meet up? I didn't have a car back then. Right. So meeting people from around was quite difficult. I lived in a very Roman Catholic, very tight community. Nudity was still very much frowned upon. So that wasn't very easy. I spent most of my nudist time back then alone.
Wow. Okay. Well, see, that's a little bit different than what I went through. Now, you're in the Netherlands. The country of Hungary is not all that far from you, correct?
Correct.
Reasonably close.
Yeah.
And that's where my extended family is from originally on my mom's side. My mom was born in the United States, but her parents and everybody before them are born and raised in Hungary. And they were always nude when I was growing up. The men, the women were not, which I never got a great explanation on that, other than that's just the way we did it in the old country.
Yeah.
But men, you know, males being nude, not only was normal, but was basically expected. So is that a difference from country to country? Now, we're also looking at 100 years ago. I don't know if you know the history, because I certainly don't. But from country to country, are there different norms in terms of acceptable nudity?
I think that's from country to country. I've never heard about people in the Netherlands, even in the older days, from my grandparents and their grandparents, of being nude just because it was more convenient. Also, I haven't heard those things from Belgium, France, or Germany. So it's probably very local.
Okay. Yeah, well, it definitely happened in Hungary, let's say 100 years ago, and they brought it over here. And also a Roman Catholic family, you know, by coincidence. So Roman Catholic family, clothes off for the males, just normal. I mean, that's the environment in which I was raised. So your family knew, but you had to kind of keep it quiet or literally behind closed doors, other than when you could get outside and maybe go for a walk in the woods, right?
Yeah, indeed. Yes. Okay. And for the rest, there was no problem because they were warned with my note on the door.
Yeah.
I had told them, and that's all I could do. I wasn't inviting them to try it. They knew, and if they are curious, then they can try it. If they're not curious, no, well, not.
Yeah, no, which makes perfect sense and very, you know, basically good of you to do that. You didn't force it upon them. They didn't force their thing upon you. It's just, I'm Paul Z. Walker. Here's what I'm doing, and I'm going to enjoy clothes-free living for all the right reasons. Now, that's a lot of solo work in the field of nudism, naturism, as you described it. When did you branch out and get into the whole social naturism and realize, wow, that's a totally different world too, which just further enhances the experience?
That took about when I was 22, 23, when I got my first car.
Okay.
Because then you can travel, you can move around. You're also considered old enough to know what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I have my doubts about that, about me, myself sometimes, but if people agree with that, I'm fine. So then I was able to go out, had a phone, still wrote letters, and then it's easier to meet people. There were even back then, there were a few naturist resorts, naturist beaches already, where you could meet up. Maybe they weren't legal naturist beaches. I don't remember. It's a bit too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
But there were people, and always nice people, kind people. In that respect, nothing has changed to now. As soon as you enter a nude beach, you get your clothes off, you meet people, they're kind people.
Yeah, and that's what I found too. And that's what we're trying to promote more and more on this show. It's not a bunch of people getting their clothes off and having wild parties. That is the exact antithesis of what naturism is. And so I'm glad you didn't find that. I didn't find that either. And I was a little concerned when I first started going to places, which was in my 30s. And I was raised as a naturist nudist, but I didn't go to an actual resort. So I was in my 30s and I thought, well, here we go. My visit might last all of 2 minutes, because if there's stuff going on, I'm going to leave, because that's not what I'm into. Not then and not now. And thankfully, no, it wasn't. It was just people, you know, barbecuing, having some iced tea, swimming, going for a walk, just enjoying life as I believe it was meant to be enjoyed. And I'm guessing you agree with that, too.
I totally do. My best memories about a nude beach are one of the local nude beaches around here. It's about 15 minutes by car, 40 minutes by bicycle. It's not big. It has a very steady, consistent crowd. Everybody knows each other. There are some evenings or afternoons when it's not too hot in the summer that we have get-togethers. Everybody brings some food. There is music, people play instruments, all that. It's more like family than people who know each other.
And these are naturist get-togethers.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what's life like in the Netherlands when it comes to nudity or naturism? Can you walk up and down the street, for example, nude? Can you work in your yard nude? Or what's the basic overall take over there?
It's what that concerns is a bit restrictive. You can't walk, you cannot walk down the street in the nude like they can in England, okay, provided everybody understands that it's the law. In the Netherlands, you can't do that. You can work naked in your yard if your yard is fenced off and nobody can see you.
Okay.
Usually, I think people wouldn't mind seeing another person in the nude, but there are people who would complain. We have lots of immigrants from other countries and other religions who are very quickly offended, and they immediately start screaming for police and all those things. There is a tendency of naturism declining a bit, I think, because it's right-wing politics, more people getting influenced by the inflow of these immigrants. Everybody in the most people in the Netherlands want to be nice to the others. So let's not do what we usually do. Otherwise, we might offend these people.
Yeah.
I can understand that, but there is a degree to which you should do that. We should not become those people. We have our own standards, our own nudity. In the years, in the 60s of last century, nudity was normal. In the 70s, people, ladies would sunbathe topless. You don't see that anymore.
Oh, wow.
On the normal beaches, you don't see that anymore. You have to go to a nude beach and then you can see it if you want to see it. But it's so strange.
Yeah. Well, I lived next door to a family. The mom and dad were raised in India, and they came over to the U.S. when they were in their 20s or so, and they're older than I am. You know, I bought the house after I, was an adult, and I would always be on my back deck, you know, sunning in the nude. It's just what I've always done. Probably as soon as I was able to walk out of my parents' house at age 2 or 3 and just sat in the sun nude. And he came over one day, not while I was nude, but while I was cutting the grass or something. And he said, you know, we don't really hang out with our clothes off in India. And I thought, well, you know, here we go. We're going to have a discussion. I said, but we're not in India. You know, we're in the United States and it's legal what I'm doing here as long as I'm not being inappropriate or, you know, running out around the yard screaming, look at me. I'm just on my patio here and you really can't see me unless you go out of your way to see me, which apparently you've done. And then, of course, you know, he wasn't too happy, but we came to an agreement that, yeah, I'm just going to be out here nude sunning. You know that. So if you hear some music and you walk to the back of your yard and then to look toward my patio, you know what you're going to see. But you're right. From country to country, it's different. And the Netherlands is your country, right? That's where you were born and raised?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
So as people from other countries come in and say, hey, Paul Z. Walker, I know you've lived here forever. You're a citizen. But I want you to keep your clothes on from now on. That just doesn't make sense to me and really doesn't seem fair. It sounds like you pretty much agree with that.
I do. Absolutely. I agree with that. And people in the Netherlands try to be too nice. There is a Dutch word for it. I don't remember the English word for it, but they try to be more accommodating towards the other people. And they shift their own values into for what I think, the wrong direction.
Yeah, well, that's the same word we would use here. We try to accommodate others. And, you know, people here, I think, I haven't said this flat out, but I think everybody in my neighborhood knows, yeah, I'm a naturist. Now, I don't go parading in my front yard, nude. I don't go out of my way to be seen, but I will be nude in the home. And if they come over, I'm probably going to be nude. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't answer the door that way. Probably because I'm being accommodating too. It's like, well, they're coming to see me because they need to borrow a tool or they need help with, you know, something. The woman next door came over a few months ago, needed help closing a window. She's an elderly lady. So I can't close the window. She couldn't figure out the locking system. Well, if I'd answered the door nude, I mean, to me, that would have been a little inappropriate, but maybe that's me. I mean, do you think it's okay if you're a naturist, you're in your own home, someone knocks at your door, you answer the door nude? In your view, is that okay?
I wouldn't do that either. No, I want people to feel safe when they knock on my door. Sometimes when it's too hot to put on clothes and I don't want to be bothered, I put a sign on my door, knock twice if you want to make sure I wear something.
That's pretty good.
And some people knock once.
Yeah.
So they don't care. And then I don't care. I open the door naked and whatever they think of it is their problem.
Yeah.
And usually that doesn't matter any much because people don't get upset about nudity as much as whatever the government or religion or whatever organization tries to make you think.
Yeah. Well, I've always thought, okay, let's say somebody doesn't want me to answer the door nude. Well, I don't want you coming to my door wearing a blue shirt. You know, say the color blue drives me crazy and, you know, makes me upset for whatever psychological disorder I would have at that point. So where do we draw the line? Okay, you don't want me nude. I don't want you in a blue shirt. What do we do? Can't we just live our own lives? But that seems to be harder and harder to do, it sounds like, right?
Yep, indeed. Yes. Yeah. I think everybody has to put a little water into the wine, as is a Dutch expression. I don't know if it's an English one as well.
Yeah. Sure.
So we also have to give in a little and make the best of it together. Just don't make everybody do your way.
Yeah, 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 that's probably best advice of all. We're talking to Paul Z. Walker this morning from the Netherlands. He's a naturist fiction author, but he's also written a whole bunch of other books. He's also part of that group with Ted Bunn and Will Forrest when they print their anthologies. Well, Paul, let's turn to your books now. When did you start? We'll do the naturist fiction group first. When did you start writing naturist fiction? What was the impetus? And basically, why did you decide, hey, I'm going to start turning out some naturist books here?
That started in 2004. I was on vacation to Fuerteventura. I know you love that word.
Oh, that's and, great.
it was on a. It was the grand opening of the Grand Hotel Naturiste. Unfortunately, that hotel doesn't exist anymore. They sold it, which is a bummer. But I was there during the first weeks they opened, and it was a fantastic place. I had downloaded a naturist fiction novel on one of my e-readers, and I was reading it, and it was, I'm sorry, it was really bad. It was so poorly written. Things were not making sense. I hated reading it. Yeah. The entire story was great, but the way it was written, I thought, I can do better.
Yeah.
And so I was working on some non-naturist books, and then I decided, I can do better. I started writing Naked Crow Number 1, which is a fantasy book about a girl who is in a Wiccan group, and they all refuse to be nude. And then for herself, she tries to convince herself that being naked doesn't add anything. She tries it out. It adds something.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And this was the start of my naturist fiction enterprise, which ended up in many more books.
Yeah.
I'm writing the 13th volume of that Naked Crow series at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that one listed. It looks like a fairly substantial one. I'm guessing it sold pretty well and people are enjoying it so far, right?
Absolutely. People keep asking me, when is the next one coming out? As soon as number 11 comes out, when is number 12 coming out? Number 12 came out. When are you working on number 13?
That's right.
I'm working on that.
That's right. Well, you're probably always working on something, at least in your mind.
Oh, I always work on several books at the same time. I'm editing a book called Witch Kids, which is a naturist children's book.
Yeah.
I'm writing the second Sky Ghost book, which is the second steampunk book for naturism. Mm-hmm. I'm writing the sixth Mirror Earth novel and a few more I don't remember.
Well, you have a link on your website called Historical Fiction Books. That has nothing to do with naturism. Am I correct in that? Or
that's not wrong.
Okay.
This was my personal interpretation on how naturism got going in England.
Okay.
This plays at the end of the 19th century. There are people who are related somehow to the German Kaiser Wilhelm. And naturism in Germany was very big also around that time and in the 1930s.
Okay.
And this is where I started developing the Unsworth Manor nudes. That turned out into three books.
Yeah.
And it's all about naturism. The people there from England didn't know naturism. They got introduced to naturism while visiting their German family.
Mm-hmm.
And they took that knowledge and experience back home to England, where that all worked out.
Now, I was always raised with the notion that Germany is a very tight society, very locked down, probably goes back to the Hitler days. You know, you can't breathe the wrong way or you'll be in trouble. But that's not really the case. The more I hear, Germany is one of the leaders in the naturism movement, at least in Europe. Is that correct? I mean, you would know more about that than I would.
That's absolutely correct. So naturism actually started in Germany, as far as I know. And that was in the 1800s, 1850, 1860. Okay. And that's where also the FKK, Freikörperkultur, as they say in Germany, comes from.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, I have experience and I speak German as well, so that helps.
Oh, well, yeah.
And that's how it started. And from Germany, it went into France, into the Netherlands, into England. It slowly grew and it has its waves. It's up and down and up and down. More interest, less interest. That's just the way things go in life. So,
okay.
But Germany is very open, very liberal. There are several parks in Germany, like in Munich and I think in Cologne, where people just can relax in the nude. It's a public park, but you can be there naked. No problem.
Yeah, I remember reading about those. So it'll say you're working in an office building. You can just stroll across the street to the park on your lunch break, take your clothes off, take the sun in, have your lunch or whatever you're going to do, get your clothes back on and go back to work, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's the way to do it. I wish more places had that.
Yeah, it really is. Do you think we'll ever get there? I don't necessarily mean in your lifetime or my lifetime, but ever, where it's just, we're here on Earth, we're human beings, you know, we, for the most part, everybody has two arms, two legs, and so on. Can we get to the point where we just accept each other living in the nude, or maybe everybody does at some point, or is that too wild?
I think this might become a necessity, because if we see how the Earth, how climate is developing, it's getting hotter in many places time and again. We've had summers with 110 degrees Fahrenheit here in the Netherlands, and we are way much more north than New York.
Okay.
So when it's 110 here, it's deadly in, let's say, France, in Spain, everything that's more south.
Okay.
I don't think it's possible to keep everything air conditioned to the point where people can keep on their clothes.
Right.
Because all these air conditionings, they generate heat too. So it gets even hotter.
It's a
cycle that will never end unless we do something. And taking your clothes off so you don't need air conditioning is the most sensible way.
It seems
if it's dark, you put on the light. It's light, you switch off the light.
That's right.
If it's cold, you put on your clothes. If it's hot, you take off your clothes.
Well, see, now you're just making way too much sense here, Paul.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I won't do it again.
Now, you said it can get up to 110 Fahrenheit in the Netherlands during the summer. That's totally different than when you were a kid?
Yes, it would be in the kids' summers, that would be around 75, 80, 85. So it went up quite a bit.
Oh, wow. So around 75 was about as high as it got?
Yeah.
And now it's 110?
Yeah.
Holy, I hadn't heard of an increase like that before. I'd heard, 2 to 3 to 5 degrees, but
no, it can be scary. Those extremely hot days here don't last very long. It's 3-4 days, but they happen.
Yeah. What do you do on those days? Do you have a lake or a pool, or you just keep the AC on and hope for the best, or what do you do?
I take my clothes off. I don't have an AC. I have a ceiling fan. When the sun's not on the balcony, I sit outside, because when it's so hot and the sun is out, I can't stand it. I'll be burning to a crisp and I won't be writing much after that.
Yeah.
And in the evenings, when things cool down a bit, I get on my bike if it's still okay. Otherwise, I take my car and I drive off to the lake, to the nude beach, which has a lake.
About how far is that from your home?
15 minutes by car, or 45 minutes on the bike.
Oh, well, shoot, you're probably there every day, or at least every day you can, right?
Well, not very often. I'm not a very social person at this moment. I've gotten to be, I wrote a blog post about that called Nudistic. I'm a bit autistic and introvert, but I'm a nudist as well. So I stick to myself more and more.
Yeah.
But I like being nude, so I can do that in my home or my balcony. And once every month or so, I can visit the nude beach.
Oh, okay. So you can be nude on your balcony. So you can get some outside naked time, for lack of a better term, on your property.
Yes. I'm on the fourth floor. For Americans, that's the fifth floor. because I know in America, the ground floor is the first floor.
Yeah.
My neighbors know I'm a nudist. I'm a naturist. I told them I can be naked on my balcony. If you want to see me, just have a look, feast your eyes, whatever. I don't care. If you don't want to see me, don't look.
Yeah. Well, so they can easily see you from their balcony, or if they're
down below? Have to, there is a matted frosted glass pane between the balcony, so they will have to lean over and have a peek. Okay. It's okay. Not that they see full frontal nude as soon as they enter the balcony themselves.
Okay. Well, then it's on them at that point, right?
Yeah. It's just like your Indian neighbor. He has to walk all the way down the fence and have a peek at your patio.
Yeah, yeah.
If he wants to see you, he has to do something for it.
That's true. You know, contrasting that, I didn't even mention this. I had next to me some people born and raised in the United States, and they were totally fine with me being nude outside. The people behind me are from a Middle Eastern country. I think Syria is where they're from. Mm-hmm. And they had no problem with me being nude outside. They were born and raised in Syria. So, you know, what you hear about the Mideast culture, the religion, you know, you think that would be bad news, but oh no. And a couple of times I'd be out there in the yard with clothes on, you know, in the middle of the yard where everybody could see me. I'd be raking or cutting the grass. And she'd come over and say, "Well, why do you have your clothes on? What's going on?" So I guess it just depends, not necessarily country to country or culture to culture, just person to person, right?
Absolutely. Yes, I know that because I spent several vacations in England, and England is a great place to do nude walks. I've done lots of them. I also knew that when I'm walking there, I'm entirely in my right. So I don't have to be afraid for people seeing me. I just put my clothes in my backpack and I started walking. I met people and they were all friendly. One or twice, someone asked, "Why do you have your clothes off?" "Well, it's too warm." "Oh, well, it's a nice day for that."
Yeah. Well, see, that's the way it should be. Just, okay, you're nude. I'm not nude. We're enjoying the day together or separately. Let's move on. You go your way, I'll go mine, and life is good.
Exactly. I've had such an experience in the Netherlands as well. I have large forests around where I live. So when it's warm, very warm, in the mornings, I go for a walk. Like 3, 4, 5 kilometers. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I meet people who are walking their dog before it gets hot. Mm-hmm. And nobody ever had a problem with it. Occasionally it's, "Hey, you're nude." "Oh, really?"
I hadn't noticed.
Yeah. Yeah, I just respond like, "Really?" As if I didn't even remember or whatever. And that's it. That's really all there is to it. People don't get upset. They don't start screaming. They don't call the police. It's just, okay, you're naked, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that is the best way. We just accept and we go on. Now, if you were being inappropriate, and we always put it on the naturist being inappropriate, what about the clothed person being inappropriate? Because, you know, you can be inappropriate, clothes on or off, right?
Absolutely. Yes. We've experienced that once. When I was at our local nude beach, there were a group of people who came, stayed dressed, and they were there just to gawk.
Yeah.
I love that word, gawk. It sounds nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so some of us walked up to them. "What are you doing here?" "We're just looking." "Okay, you've been here for about 10 minutes. You've seen enough. Go away."
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good for you.
And we actually herded them off the premises because they didn't want to leave on their own. So we had a cordon about 10, 12 people. Imagine that. Five dressed people, 12 naked people, herding the dressed people off the premise. "Go away. We don't need you here."
Was it illegal for them to be there with clothes on, or it's just something you just didn't want to have to deal with?
It's a nude beach. We don't want clothed people there.
Oh, it is a nude. It's designated
it's absolutely
as a nude
designated. Yeah. It has a big sign, nude beach.
Yeah.
So if they can't read, ask what it says before you come in there.
Yeah. The terrific and highly prolific author from the Netherlands, Paul Z. Walker, and we thank him for all of his time today. Part 2 of my interview with Paul Z. Walker on next week's show. Well, thank you for being with us today on Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, episode 40 today. We give you a brand new show every Saturday morning at 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. Continue to join us. Check us out on our website, nakednudistandnaturist.com, Spotify, Google, Amazon/Audible, Apple Podcasts. And also on Twitter, you can write us anywhere, anytime, any place. And we thank you for being with us today. Plan to join us for every single one of our shows here and have your clothes off when you're listening. We have our clothes off when we're broadcasting, enjoying the naturist life.
We celebrate clothes-free living for all. Remember to enjoy being naked and join us again for Naked Nudist and Naturist.
We drop a brand new show every Saturday morning, so come back and join us. Have your clothes off when you do for Naked, Nudist, and Naturist. Have a great clothes-free day.